We're just going to jump right in. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 5, and I'll try to shorten it, just get you out on time. Appreciate you coming out tonight. I really do. And some didn't make it for weather-related reasons, but a lot of you came, and some from great distance, and I'm very thankful. Verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Notice that. He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Let's pray together. Lord, please help our thoughts tonight from your word just to be another little bit of a challenge to our hearts as we prepare for the four most important days of our church year, when we set aside these days and hours to have a conference that really is a priority for missions and getting the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, about his death, burial, and resurrection, the power of the gospel to folks all around the world. Lord, help us as we concentrate on this important matter. Speak to our hearts in just a quick way tonight. I pray that you'll help me to be precise and concise. And Lord, use my words. May they be your words, guided by your Spirit. And I'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And amen. Our hearts for his harvest, Lord willing. All the decorations will be up this Sunday. We'll be ready for the week ahead for Missions Conference. Our banner will be up. Our hearts for his harvest is our theme for this year's conference. And I've been using the word heart for an acronym for the messages last Sunday, tonight, and this coming Sunday morning and evening. Sunday morning, we preached that letter H, a heart for his harvest. And the way to develop a heart for his harvest, it begins with our eyes. Jesus told the disciples to lift up their eyes and look on the fields. And Jeremiah said, mine eye affecteth my heart. And if you and I will see the field as Jesus sees it, it will fuel our affection, okay? It'll give us a focus our attention on the field. It'll fuel our affection for missions. And then Sunday night, the letter E, we talked about the expense of his harvest. The expense of his harvest. And like what Brother Ferguson said there in his presentation tonight, he just kind of dealt with money like, folks, this is a part of it. And that's what it is. It's a part of it. It's not going to get done without money. And God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he could finance it himself if he so chose to do that. But thankfully, I'm personally glad he allows us the personal blessing of investing, as he put it, investing money in missions and the expense of his harvest. Okay? So the letter A tonight in the word heart, I want to speak on this subject for just a few minutes. Asleep during his harvest. Asleep during his harvest. Look at verse number 5, the latter part of the verse. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Now, Proverbs is a book of wise sayings. You know that. Truth in single phrases. Truth in single sentences. Many times truth is contrasted in the same verse with error or righteousness with wickedness. And the first phrase of this verse, you have a wise son. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. And then the second phrase of the verse, you have the son that causeth shame. So you have a contrast in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 5. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, if you will, that you're a farmer. You make your living off of the land. There's no factory work. There's no side job selling candles or any other type of thing that you could make. Your fields hold your harvest, and your harvest determines your income. You live off the land. There are no government programs to assist you, no crop insurance. If the crop stays in the field, you have nothing. In fact, you are behind because you borrowed some money from the bank for overhead so you could operate during this year, to buy the seed, to buy the fertilizer, the herbicide, all the things we kind of talked about on Sunday night, okay? And all spring and summer, you watch your crop grow. You take care of it as best as you can. It goes from a beautiful green to a kind of a golden color as it begins to ripen and die. And then it turns into that brown. The ears on the stalks have dropped. They haven't fallen to the ground. They've dropped. They're hanging low. And the moisture level is right. And the weather is nice. It's sunny and 62 degrees. Very little breeze. I mean, it's harvest time. You're ready. You're going into the field to reap your harvest. You're going, that's as your income. This is payday. This is going to the bank and getting the check. Or taking the check to the bank. Okay, this is like coming on a Friday and getting the paycheck from your employer. This is what you're going to do. Now, you've got a few hired hands to help you in this matter of harvesting the crops. I'm going to work on the farm with you. One of them is your grown son, mature son. And the help knows, all the hired help knows it's time. Everybody is in place. I mean, it's time. They're there early, and everybody's there except for your son. And he lives in a little house down the road from the main farmhouse. And so, you know, you get the fellas started, and you figure he'll show up. Maybe he's running a little bit late, but after a while, you get going. You get to the place where you got to have what he does. His part in the harvest is not getting finished, not getting accomplished. So now you're in a mess, and you're worried because you feel like he's not here. He's sick. So you go down to the house when you should be harvesting, and the door is unlocked, and you walk in, and you find him fast asleep in the bed. No alarm. You look around the little living room area. It's obvious that he stayed up late the previous night, and he's sound asleep there. I mean, the sun is bright and shining, 62 degrees, and everything's ready with the harvest. The fellows have started, and your son is asleep. How would you feel? So, well, I get that all the time. No, don't confess. You know, but how would you feel? You'd feel pretty sad. You'd be mad. Now, listen. There are no accidental words or phrases in the Bible. So there must have been a reason why Solomon, the wisest man to live, would say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "He that sleepeth at harvest is a son that causeth shame. Asleep in the days of his harvest. These are the days of his harvest." John chapter 9, verse number 4, Jesus said this, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work," because at nighttime the work ceases. So the work must be accomplished while it is day. And these are the days of his harvest. And we cannot, as God's sons, as God's daughters, as God's children, we can't be asleep during the harvest. Can't be asleep during the harvest. Adoniram Judson, that great missionary to Burma, said this, and I quote, "I feel it is my duty to plod on while daylight shall last." I like that. And if you know anything about Adoniram Judson, I believe he labored for 5 years before he saw his first convert. 5 years, Brother Ferguson, can you imagine that? I don't imagine it was but a few days when you first got down to Mexico and learned the language that you were able to lead somebody to Christ. 2 days. 5 years. 5 years. "I feel it is my duty to plod on while daylight shall last." In other words, he did not want to be found asleep during the Lord's harvest. Asleep during his harvest. Let me say three things about this and we'll be done. Number one, sleep is wonderful in its time and place. I think you can say amen to that. Some of you think that place and time is church service. Amen? Yes, sir. We put too comfortable a pews in this place, I'm afraid. Now, don't get me wrong. Sleep is not sinful. Psalm 127:2, the Bible says, "He giveth his beloved sleep, and in its rightful place, sleep is a good and healthy blessing." There is nothing quite like a good night's sleep. Don't you look forward to it when you're tired? Don't you look forward to a good night's sleep? I think about old Ebenezer Scrooge there in the Dickens Christmas Carol. And I believe it was the Ghost of Christmas Past, the first one came, you know, and said, "I've come for your good." And Ebenezer responds by saying something like, "I can think of nothing better for my good than a night of uninterrupted sleep." And I agree with him wholeheartedly. I don't know, to the age now where I don't have trouble going to sleep, but if you wake me up before the time to wake up, I have a hard time going back to sleep. The other night, I was out. I mean, out. And all of a sudden, Terry. And I said, what? Somebody's outside. I said, really? Heard somebody yelling. This is my wife. Okay, so then, you know, man, you're just every nerve in your body is, you know, on edge. And every sound is magnified. So I'm listening. And I said, well, what were they saying? They were saying, hello. So I listened for a while. I said, "You think you might have had a dream? Maybe I had a dream. It was 2:50 in the morning. 2:50, 10 minutes till 3. And brother, oh my goodness. You know, I thought, I'll go right back to sleep. It was a long time before I got back to sleep. There's nothing any better for you than a night of uninterrupted sleep. That's a blessing from the Lord. But in Proverbs chapter 10, it was the time of his sleep that caused the problem. He was asleep when he should have been awake. He was sleeping when he should have been working. He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. I think of what Paul said, Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And he's not talking about soul salvation. He's not talking about justification. He's talking about the complete redemption of the body, soul, and spirit. And Paul said, you know, it's the coming of Christ. And he said that, folks, back in about 58 A.D., And if he said that in 58 A.D., how much closer would that be to you and me now? It's time now for God's people to be awake, awake, alert. Isn't there a song that goes like, you sing it in chapel once, awake, alert, enthusiastic, right? Alert, awake, enthusiastic. Alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. There you go. I like that even better. Alive, alert. It would be good for God's people, some of them to look like they're alive. That's honest truth. Alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. Not time to be asleep. It's time to get the Lord's harvest in. We dare not be asleep during harvest. Asleep to the need. Asleep to the opportunity. Friend, please don't yawn. Please don't yawn your way through the next 10, 12 days. Man, it's missions. It's missions. This ought to be your... My adrenaline is flowing. I kid you not. I'm not embellishing it. I'm not exaggerating it. I love the Revival Fires Conference. I can't wait. We've got some new things. I talked to Brother Jim Green today. I don't even go into it right now. Some opportunities that are going to be affordable that week, available that week for God's people. And I hope some people come, and I hope you people will take advantage of it. We're going to have some afternoon sessions with some of these preachers. But Brother Bobby Robertson has given us an hour on Tuesday afternoon upstairs, just up close and personal. It's just incredible. But I'm going to tell you what, and I get excited about that, but it doesn't touch the hem of the garment when it comes to missions conference. I love this. Don't be asleep. Don't be asleep these next few days. Don't yawn your way through the next few weeks. Be alert, be awake, be alive. Sleep is wonderful in its time and place, but when it comes to the harvest, when it comes to God's harvest, it's not the time or place to be asleep. I think I told you before about my first day in Bible college at Howes Anderson. I don't know anybody in the college. I don't know anybody in the church. I know that's a pretty big place. Back then, even, 76, to not know anybody. I had seen and heard Jim Vineyard preach one time in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so here I am, man. You know, we register on Tuesday. On Wednesday, Dr. Howes comes out and has chapel for the first day and tells everybody to get your dictionary and go back to your room and cut out the word quit and cut out the word compromise. And he said it'll be easy for you to find it. They both start with the letter K. And he just made some jokes like that, you know. And then that was on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, Brother Vineyard came to the chapel. It was his day to preach on Thursday. He was the executive vice president back in those days. And Dr. Evans preached on Monday. That was interesting. And then Max Helton on Friday. Max Helton became the chaplain for the NASCAR circuit. And he died a couple years ago. He was the chaplain. But anyway, getting off base here. So Brother Vineyard was on Thursday. And I never forget, man. Brother Helton was up in the pulpit, and he was going through all the green passes for this, and the yellow passes for this, and the pink passes for this. You know, you're just also new, a freshman, and so then Brother Vineyard gets up to preach. You know, I'm sitting out there, and Brother Vineyard said, "I want that boy sitting right over there, right there." "Yes, sir. That boy sitting right there. Come up here, son. Come up here. Come up here. This is from the old. This is the old chapel building where the bowling alley is now. Come up here, son." So the boy walks out and he starts down the aisle and he said, "Now get your Bible." The boy said, "Stop," said, "I don't have my Bible." "Oh, brother." Didn't have his Bible in chapel. "Right, son, get up here. This is a Bible college. We take our Bible. We go to the bathroom with our Bibles at Bible college." He said, "Now you stand right here." He said, "I want to ask you a question." He put recently. He said, "What does this pink pass mean?" He said, "What does this yellow pass mean?" "I don't know." "What does this green pass mean?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I know you don't know. You know why you don't know? Because you were sleeping. I watched you sleep. And you can sleep through Dr. Helton's announcements, but you're not going to sleep through my preaching. You're going to stand right here while I preach." As a freshman pastor's son from Washington State, he made him stand right there And God is my witness, if his message wasn't from Jonah chapter 1, what doest thou here, O thou sleeper? He scared me so bad. I wanted to put toothpicks in. I didn't sleep the next 4 years, even at night. That poor guy. And to his credit, he stayed in school. He didn't get offended. He stayed in school and he graduated 4 years later. And he went on to serve in the ministry, I think, under his dad's church out there in Washington State. But he made the mistake of sleeping when he should have been awake. Now, there's no accidental words in the Word of God. He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. It'd be worse for us to go to sleep during the Lord's harvest than it would for a farmer's son to miss the harvest time. Because we're only talking about grain when it comes to the farmer. We're talking about souls when it comes to God. So, sleep is wonderful in its time and its place. Number two, let me say this. A sense of urgency will cause us to be alert. Sleeping in harvest gives the idea of being lackadaisical and careless and lacking, here it is, a sense of urgency. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you ever try to go to sleep when you knew you had to go to sleep? Because you were getting up early, earlier than usual, and you had some kind of appointment or something that you knew you had. I've got to get to sleep so I can get up. How'd you fare? That sense of urgency about the next day, that sense of urgency about the meeting or about the appointment. Let me give you the classic example. You're in a room with someone who snores badly. And you think to yourself, I have got to get to sleep before they do. If they get to sleep before me, I'm toast. Tonight is toast. Believe me, I've been there. I've been there with your pastor. Oh my goodness. What is happening to him? And then I've been with a man in this church when it was so bad. I said, I've got to get to sleep. Because if I don't get to sleep before he does, I'll never get denied. You know, in the sense of urgency, I couldn't go to sleep. And I had to get up and go downstairs and left the room quietly and asked the lady at the desk to put me not next door, but across the hall somewhere. And so I got my own room. It's just that. But a sense of urgency will cause us to be alert, okay? Now, is there, here it is. The sense of urgency, if we could just, I like what he said tonight. And it got just a tad bit quiet in your presentation when you said, you know what, if I have my 3 score and 10, I got a little less than 15 left. He's right where I am. How old are you, Brother Ferguson? I'm 56. And I've thought that very same thought. I've been here 22 years. If I have 70 years, I have 14 left. That's not long. And all you youngins better listen. It flies. Okay. So a sense of urgency about life. And if I could get a sense of urgency about the harvest, the Lord's harvest, I won't have any trouble staying alert. I won't have any trouble sleeping through the harvest if I can keep a sense of urgency. Does the thought of the Lord's harvest ever cross your mind? I was thrilled Sunday night with when one of the brothers left the service after preaching on the expense of his harvest, and he just stopped and he said, you know, I got a thought from something you said tonight about a way that possibly I could do something on the side and make a little bit of extra money without investing a whole lot of time and just for missions and just for the Lord's work. And I rejoiced as I went home Sunday night to think, you know, there's somebody who kind of catches the urgency. The urgency. And if I'm urgent, if I feel the urgency, I won't battle. I won't have any trouble with sleeping during the harvest. Does the thought of 7 billion people ever cross your mind? It'll be difficult to sleep during the Lord's harvest if we have a sense of urgency about it. I need to do it. I can, because it is the time of the Lord's harvest. And I don't need to be careless and lackadaisical and asleep. So I need a sense of urgency that will help keep me awake during the Lord's harvest. And I'll say 3 and we're done. Gather while we can. He said at the beginning of verse number 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son. So it's gathering time. It's gathering time. Gather while we can. Be at the conference, I beg you, please. I hope we have good weather. We've had good weather all winter. It's been a blessing. I had a little thing Sunday and tonight, but man, if that's good weather, just be at the conference. Shift some things, move some things, be at the conference. I mean, look, gather while you can. Plan now to come. Be interested in the missionaries. And you've done a good job at that church. I've heard that from the fellows that come through here. You know, your people come up to us. You've done a good job at that. Be interested in the missionaries. Take their prayer cards. Don't just take them, use them. We're hopefully going to have that booklet that I promised you a year ago. We hopefully will have that for our conference this year. A little booklet put together of all the missionaries that we support, where they serve. And you'll be able to take it, put it on your dinner table, and maybe just at supper each night, take that little booklet out and just maybe pray for a couple of names all year long. Wouldn't that be a blessing to do that, see? Take their prayer cards. Visit their displays. I've gone over that over and over again with you. Give an offering to help. Speak to them while they are here. Don't walk past a missionary guest and ignore them. Always say hello. Speak. Be kind. Deputation can be a grueling experience. I'd like to think Faith Baptist Church could be an oasis. A place where they enjoy coming. They get refreshed while they're here, okay? Now, that's all a part of gathering while we can. It avoids being asleep at the time of the harvest. Now, here it is. Here's the bottom line. Some people come and go to a service when we have a missionary or a missionary conference. And if asked about it 1 hour after the service ended, 1 hour after the service, the last amen, they would not be able to tell you one thing about the missionary guest, where they'd been, what they were doing. And they would probably say, you know, church, this wasn't very interesting tonight. Somebody else would tell you the name of the missionary, where they were going, what they'd been doing, how much support they still needed, maybe a change in their ministry, something unique to their field. Maybe they gave the missionary a $20 bill for an oil change or just put a $10 bill in their hand beyond the offering, picked up a prayer card, and they leave saying, what a great service. Same missionary, same presentation, same auditorium. Just depends if you're asleep or awake. Just depends if you're asleep or awake. You don't want to be asleep during the Lord's harvest. Amen. Stay awake during this thing. I mean, man, be interested. Put your heart into it. Because you don't want a son that sleepeth during the harvest causeth his father shame. God forbid. But we're talking about the thing that's the closest to God's heart that we would fail to invest our interest. Amen? Let's have a great conference. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight. Be sure and go by the table. Greet Brother Ferguson as you go. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to have church. It blessed my heart to see the presentation. What a joy to see what you've done through this brother and his family. Meet his needs. Help him as he seeks, Lord, this new direction. And Lord, I pray that you would make him what you've made Kevin Walker here in the States, a great blessing to churches, to communities, and most of all to souls. Help him. And then, Lord, help us as a church to not, help us not to be asleep during your harvest. Oh God, may we be active and alive and alert and enthusiastic about missions and the opportunities that await us this year, and especially during the conference in just a few days. May our hearts be in it. Our hearts for your harvest, I pray. Please do something good for us. Not because we deserve it, but oh, how we need it. In Jesus' name I ask it. Before we dismiss, a short invitation. Ladies, play us a song.